Fentz struck out in his first at-bat today. Here's the pitch. It is line down the right field line. That's going to be a hit. It's going to go to the wall. Blanco tearing around second, heading toward third. Puig plays the carom. Blanco gets the stop sign at third as Puig relays it in to Kike Hernandez. Into second is Pence with a double, and the Giants are set up to tie the game or more. Hunter Pence, who has had a tough time in his career against Clayton Kershaw, gets an extra base hit against him.
This is Hunter Pence of the San Francisco Giants. Now back to the Giants pregame show with Marty Lurie on KNBR 680.
All right, third base coach is with us, the professor, our last show of the year today. How do you like Pence's last couple of weeks?
I loved it. You know, the heart and determination that he shows, and I think it's been great that he's been in the lineup doing that, and he's been one of our biggest assets on the field. And, you know, he still can run. Once he gets moving, you can't stop that train. And he's done fantastic. I'm happy for him that he's doing what he's doing, because who knows where he'll be next year. And the fans love him here. He loves the fans. And he's been a big contributor.
I think he'd be a good coach.
Well, you know, he'd be one of those motivational type coaches. There's no question about it. A little bit like, you know, they say Gabe Kapler is a motivator. They say I don't know him. But, yeah, that's the type of individual, people are looking for. You know, They talk about coaching and being a great motivator, and he certainly would be that.
Remember Frank Howard, big Frank Howard?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Hondo?
No
Frank
doubt.
Frank Howard, 6'8", Ohio State, big,
sure.
Big hitter for the Dodgers, the Tigers, and the old Senators. He was a coach.
Yes.
And for some reason, Pence reminds me of him.
Of him?
Of the way Frank Howard was as a coach. I mean, he just commanded that when he came in and said something, people reacted.
Well, you know, Barry, been with us a long time, Bonds, and I think Frank Howard, if I'm not mistaken, helped Barry with his outfield play. And was he ever with Pittsburgh? Was it Frank Howard? I may be mixing up the individual. I know who Frank is. He was very imposing. A lot different than Hunter.
Oh, come on. Frank
was,
really?
Yeah.
So you say about Frank Howard, you know, that you'd go on the road and you'd go in the hotel, you know, they have the little bottles of liquor in the refrigerators when you'd come in.
Oh, yeah.
They would be gone.
Yeah.
I mean,
no.
he would just drink them all.
No, Frank Howard, man's man.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. No, if he said something as a coach, you were going to listen.
Exactly. And I swear, Pence kind of reminds me of that kind of guy. All right, let's jump ahead here. I know we've only got a couple of minutes with you. This wild card game is crazy what could be happening today with your game with the Dodgers and the Cubs and the Brewers. Everyone could tie. But then you get to that one game, that one game, and you've been through it twice, and you were successful because you had the guy pitching, but you held him down and you got the runs. What's it like preparing for that one game?
Well, it's like a seventh game of the World Series, in a lot of ways even more pressure, because you're trying to get to the World Series, and it's one game, and it takes a lot of effort. There's a lot that you need to look at, a lot of video. You have to, go through the information and leave no stone unturned. But the other thing you have to do is you have to play out the different scenarios. You may have your ace on the mound, but if he struggles, it's really how are you going to handle the bullpen? You got to know who you want to bring in early, like Boach did with Jeremy Affeldt in Game 7 of our World Series. And then, you really need to sit down and play out. Okay, if we have the lead, who am I going to? If we're losing, by a lot, who am I going to? And the other thing is, I think you have to be ready for the moments that come up in the game. Meaning, you can't be second-guessing or thinking what you want to do when a situation presents itself. You want to be aggressive. You want to fire your bullets. If you think you need to pinch hit for somebody with the bases loaded in the fifth inning because it's your opportunity to win the game, you have to be ready for those moments. So there's a lot of planning that goes into it mentally on how you're going to handle the game, but you don't do on a daily basis with every game you play. If you did, you would kill yourself. You can't, you're playing doing this every single day. So it is a lot different, and you have to be ready and prepared for what presents itself.
So how about a situation like we could end up with tomorrow where the Cubs and the Brewers could both tie for the division in the wild card, and then you get the same situation with Dodgers and Rockies. How do you manage the play-in game for the wild card or division? Because it's not a Game 7. You are guaranteed at least one more, but you really don't want to have to play the one-game playoff.
That's probably the most difficult decisions involved with that game that you have to make. I know the Dodgers switched their pitcher today. They're right. going with Rich Hill. So I don't know what their thinking is. And every scenario is different. You know, you have your number one starter, your two and three, and you may like your number two against a particular team better than your number one because he matches up better. There's so many variables with that I think everybody's own situation they have to look at and make that decision. And it's not easy because, you know, Clint Hurdle did it right when we played. When we played Pittsburgh, we had Bumgarner going, and he chose to go with
Santana?
Volquez.
That's right. That's right.
Because he used Garrett Cole to try to win the division, which was crazy because he had just a one chance in 100 of doing it.
Right. So he used his best pitcher to win the division when they're already in. But, you know, as it turned out, it didn't work out for him. But I have to say, it is not an easy decision to make. And those decisions are probably, if you make the wrong decision, you're not very smart, and if you make the right one, you're a genius.
Boy, so. Would you like to see two or three in that one game?
I would.
You would?
I would. You know, just for the same. Listen, the one-game playoff is a great thing for the fans. There's a great energy, but I just don't think it's fair. You play 162 games in this league, and it comes down to a one-game playoff. And I just think it's very, very difficult. It's not a true test of the quality of the team. I think two of three would be fairer because anything can happen in that one game. And where your pitching is a huge thing. What starter you have on the mound, you know, you may have your best guy available because that's where you're at. You're able to rest them and have them, and the other team may have their number five. So it's just a tough place to be.
I agree with you. The last thought on this before we talk a little defensive baseball with you. The argument against a 2 of 3 is because the division winner would have to sit around maybe for 5 or 6 days. Is that legit in baseball? Do you lose your edge? I mean, the Red Sox are talking about them with the big lead, and they haven't had a meaningful game in a long time. Is there an edge at this time of year?
Well, I think it's legitimate. I think that's a concern. Is it a bigger concern than being fair to the wild card teams? That's the question for me. I know what's happened to me in the minor leagues. We won both divisions. We had a week layoff in Shreveport, Louisiana, in AA. And I was extremely concerned because you have more than 2 days off being on the field.
Okay.
It does affect your touch, your feel. All those types of things. And we had a week off, and the way we dealt with it, and some major league teams have done that. We played inter-squad games. We had our pitchers throwing live to the hitters so the hitters could see live pitchers and the pitching could see live hitters to keep them sharp. But the mental edge is definitely not like playing a game. And it panned out. But if you sit around for 5 or 6 days, that does affect your ability to come out and play the next day.
Well, this happened to the Red Sox in 1946. The Cardinals and Dodgers ended up in a playoff in the National League. And the Red Sox had won, and they had to sit around for a while the Dodgers and Cardinals had this playoff. It was a three-game playoff. And they had inter-squad games, and somebody hit Ted Williams.
There you go.
They hit him on the elbow, and he was 5 for 26 in the World Series.
Well, and more recently, Marty, it happened in 07. The Rockies went 22 of 23 to end the year. They sweep through the NL playoffs. They had to wait 8 days for the Red Sox, who went 7 games with the Indians, and then they got swept in the World Series. They cooled off.
Yeah, it does.
It happens,
That meant, you know, if you're talking about 5, 6, 7 days, that's an awful place to be.
Well, last thing for you, and these defensive metrics, and I know you're the defensive guru on this team, and these defensive metrics with runs saved, do they make any sense to you whatsoever?
Well, Marty, I'm glad you brought that up. you know, there's a lot of stats in the game today, and it seems like the game keeps evolving, but, you know, if you do the eye test.
You know who's here now.
Oh, there's Eddie.
Eddie Montague. Eddie. They booed him.
They're always booing the umpires, Eddie. What's up with that? you know, they just don't jive with the eye test. You know, you vote for the Gold Glove, and now part of the Gold Glove winners, they have the defensive metrics is the percentage that's added in there. And when you look at the paper,
I'll give you one
example right here. Nolan Arenado for third baseman, he has 5 defensive runs saved. Probably the greatest third baseman
They say it could be one of the best
one
ever.
Of the best of all time. But his first step and the balls he gets to is unbelievable. I've watched him for a long time. He has five defensive run staves, and you look up to Travis Shaw, who doesn't Brewers. Have his range or ability at third. No knock on him, and he's got nine. So we can give multiple examples of these ratings, and the eye test, it just doesn't measure up. And I just don't think it's fair to the players that, you know, how they calculate these or who's calculating these is having an outcome and their gold glove status.
All right, I could go with that.
Yeah, they say it's better than fielding percentage, but you and I were just talking about how you come up with some of these metrics, and I'm just not sure we know how to use them all yet, but you're right, it could be taken away from a better defensive player to say this statistic alone makes you a better defender.
Exactly. You know, you can't play the game on statistics. You know, the eye test tells you a lot. You know, the coaches and the fellow players or peers in the league, they know who the best defenders are and what they can do and what they can't do.
What about Craw? Where is he in this thing?
Well, Craw is... Well, he was at the top of the league in defensive runs saved. In the first 2 months, he had seven, okay? In the last 2 months, he hasn't picked up anything. He still has seven. So I'm not quite sure, you know, and he's one, two, three, four, fifth on the list.
Wow, who's the top?
Nick Ahmed with 23, Paul DeJean with St. Louis with 14, Addison Russell with 13, Dansby Swanson with 11.
And when you take Craw over all of them, I don't want to sound like just because he's here, but...
Well, he's been the reigning gold glover the last 3 years. So, yeah. Again, you know, how they measure these, you know, the amount of opportunities, who's deciding this, there's so many variables. So sometimes you look at things, these metrics, and you shake your head. They're way out of whack.
Well, all right. Whoa, what a year. You did great.
Well, enjoyed being with you, Marty, on the show, as always. And you'll have a long time to rest up your voice here.
Well, me too. And you've got a couple of surgeries coming up, right?
Yeah. So I'm going to rest up, too.
Knee and shoulder,
rest up and try to get ready for next year.
Boy, what a year. And Carmen and Allie. What was that? Go ahead, Eddie. You got to get the microphone. Eddie, you got to talk in the microphone.
I said the moves you made the other day. Good moves.
Yeah.
You
mean
like
yesterday?
A kid out there waving them in. Yeah.
Yesterday? Oh, yeah. Come on. He had the windmill going.
Nobody knows. I pulled my hamstring, though, Eddie.
Well, it's been great. I love it. And we've got all this stuff archived. And one of these days, we're going to make the best of.
That sounds good. I look forward to hearing that. All right, Marty. Well,
take
enjoyed
care.
It. Thank you
all
so
right.
much.
That is Ron Wotus, the third base coach of the Giants. More coming up right here on the Sports Lead. Let's hear it for Wo right now.
Talking baseball with Marty Lurie on KNBR 680, the Sports Leader.